Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. My next special guest, associated with Cinequest Film and VR Festival, is Jeremy Guy, an award-winning director and cinematographer based in Los Angeles. Jeremy graduated from the University of California Santa Barbara Film Studies program with highest honors and departmental honors before earning his Master of Fine Arts from the University of Southern California in film production. His subsequent work includes a wide variety of projects, including narrative feature films, major television shows, and independent documentaries. Jeremy's feature documentary, Purda, follows a young woman in India who recently removed her burqa for the first time to pursue her dream of becoming one of the only Muslim women to play cricket professionally in all of Mumbai. Purda has its world premiere at Cinequest and has three upcoming screenings at Cinequest between now and March 11th. And you can find out details of where and when at cinequest.org. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've made the arts your life. I'm wondering whether you can remember the first piece of art that had a deep effect on you, whether it was film or writing, music or something else, where you realized art can do more than just entertain us.
You know what? I'd say that film definitely had the largest impact on me of the arts. And I want to say that, I mean, pretty much throughout the 90s was kind of like my formative period when I really started seeing that films could be more than just entertainment. So I think, let's see, films like American Beauty, I know were a really big influence on me at that age. And then like films like Pulp Fiction were just really unique. So I think that it was right around that era when I was like, oh, wow, you can make films that aren't just popcorn movies, that they really can make you think and that can be symbolic visually and in the script. And so I think that that's when it first started like planting the seed in my brain that, oh, maybe this is something that I would want to do for a career.
So it was definitely film out of all the arts that had the most impact on you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just something that's always been a bit more relatable. It's been something that's been easier for me to connect with personally, I guess, because in some ways I feel like film sort of combines like the arts with entertainment. And so it's just been something that I grew up with, you know, enjoying watching movies with my brother, with my family. And so it was just something that I latched on to much more quickly than, say, some of the more traditional arts.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you whether you came to art yourself or whether you would say you grew up in a creative environment.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are in no way involved in the arts, but what was great was that they very much encouraged me to pursue whatever I was interested in. And so they were really supportive. And, you know, so my brother and my friends, we would make our own home videos. And if I wanted to do like an arts class or something like that, I could do that, or electives at high school. I could take as many as I wanted. So, I mean, that was a really great part of growing up, was that my parents were so supportive of those types of endeavors.
Yeah. That's a big thing. 'Cause I think especially with the arts, you know, a lot of parents are like, oh, you know, you'll never make any money at that, and, you know, do something practical. So that's great that you had that kind of supportive environment.
Yeah, certainly. Because, I mean, I know a lot of people where that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
You know, and then I see them end up being kind of forced into career paths that maybe they don't really appreciate. And I know that it's something that I enjoy every day that I'm able to do. It's just, I find it to be incredibly exciting and fulfilling.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously it is a difficult career to be in the arts, but you know, to be able to at least, you know, if that's your passion, to try. I mean, you know, the old say, you know, if you don't try, you're definitely not going to achieve what you want, you know. So great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know plenty of people who have found that it ultimately was not the path for them, or that it was too difficult, or, I mean, particularly actors, I know. I mean, it's just such a difficult career to break into. So it isn't for everybody, and there's unfortunately not enough room for everybody either. But I'm really happy that thus far I've been able to make it work. And I would encourage everybody who's interested to at least give it a shot.
Yes, yeah. You've got film degrees, as I mentioned, from UC Santa Barbara and USC. I'm intrigued to know what you study to get a degree in film and how it equips you for the business, or also maybe how it doesn't or can't.
Yeah, well, at UCSB, I did a film studies program. So it was almost an exhaustive amount of writing and reading about film, whether that be film theory, film history, genre study, studying various eras of filmmaking, things like that. And I remembered hearing that the film studies program at UC Santa Barbara supposedly had to write more than any other major, even English majors.
Wow.
they do make you work for it. But then at USC, I did a production program. So it was much more hands-on. And we did do like some film studies type of classes, but we would have, you know, cinematography class, sound class, writing class, directing class. So it was a little bit more specific about actually physically making the films.
Yeah, because, I mean, one assumes at some point you actually have to be taught how to, you know, do a storyboard or use a camera or whatever, the actual practical parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the part that I enjoyed the most. And so that's why I ended up applying to grad school, because we had some production classes available at UCSB, but it was not the emphasis of the program. So I wanted to be able to learn more and get more hands-on time and instruction. So that's why I did their production program at USC.
Right, yeah. One of my guests recently on the show, the artist Enrique Martinez-Salai, he was talking about how in many higher education institutions, the way art is taught, that there isn't much preparation, sometimes none, with regard to how one might make a living. It sounds like this might be somewhat similar in film studies to you. Do you think it would be helpful to have perhaps more practical entrepreneurial elements taught?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like a lot of us felt that way, that we would love any sort of practical insight into how to make it work in this very difficult business.
And, yes.
I mean, we learn a lot of valuable things about how to be creative, how to think. But at least at UCs, I know that they always, their priority is to kind of make you think.
Yes.
As opposed to teaching you a trade.
Yes.
I think that when people have their mindset on a particular career already, I think that that can be a little bit frustrating. And I think that the average person getting a film degree of any kind, they usually want to be making the films themselves. So I think that a lot of people kind of just want to jump to that step.
Yes.
So
yeah.
At that stage, it can be a little frustrating. You want to know more about, like, okay, how can I make my own movies, or what do I need to know to get a job? And it's not always there. So, I mean, I would love it if they started teaching more of that.
Yeah.
In film schools.
I mean, you hear a lot that people say it's who you know, and I don't mean that in the sense that you know, you have to know somebody, you know, at the top of the studio or whatever, but that there is a sort of camaraderie, a community, that if you can get into that, then you're probably going to work more. But of course, it's like, how do you become part of one of those communities?
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum. most of my jobs I've gotten from fellow students. So it's never been a situation
so you're
where
supporting
I knew somebody
each other.
Who was high up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anyone who's super high up in the industry who can just hand out tons of jobs.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So as we sort of collectively are finding work, we each try to bring on our friends who we've worked with before, who we trust and know and have experience collaborating with. We try to bring them on all of our own projects. And that has been really helpful. Like even on PERTA, there are several of my film school classmates. We work together on the film, and most of them I've worked with a few times already. And so it just makes for a much more comfortable experience, you know, to expect from each other, you're usually willing to go the extra mile for a close friend as well. So that's been probably my favorite takeaway from film school.
Yes, yeah. We're going to talk about Perda in a moment, but I just was wondering, what is the first film you ever made? Was it when you were very young?
I made all sorts of really dorky home movies when I was a kid, with those big, clunky camcorders that recorded on like VHS.
Uh-huh, tape. Yeah.
We would make dumb little like superhero movies and stuff, but I think my first real film was probably my college thesis film at UC Santa Barbara that was called Perspectives, that we followed mostly. It would be either the homeless or immigrants that would be collecting and recycling the bottles and cans from parties in Isla Vista, the college community around UC Santa Barbara.
Right.
And that would be how they would be making a living. That got to play at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. And it was a really interesting experience making that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my conversation with special guest, award-winning director and cinematographer, Jeremy Guy. And just a reminder, if you're interested in seeing Jeremy's new film, Perda, it has its world premiere at Cinequest and has three upcoming screenings at Cinequest between now and March 11th. You can find out details of where and when at cinequest.org, and also on the KSCO website. If you go there, there's a page where you can find a link directly to buy tickets to see Perda. We're going to a break now, but we'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Ciao. I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Danielle and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my conversation with special guest, award-winning director and cinematographer, Jeremy Guy. And I mentioned a bit about the subject of your documentary feature, Perda, in the introduction. It has its world premiere at Cinequest. But I'm wondering, Jeremy, if you can give us a bit more of an idea of what the film covers, without giving away any thing that you shouldn't.
Yeah, it's We start off covering a young girl named Kaikasha Mirza. She's a young Muslim woman, and she is allowed by her father to remove her burqa for the first time just before we start filming, and in order for her to try to attempt to make the Mumbai senior women's cricket team. And this is all highly unusual. There's very few Muslim women playing sports in Mumbai. In a massive city, she's like the only Muslim girl she knows that's playing.
Wow.
So we follow her and her sisters, Saba and Hina, who also have dreams for their careers, and we document sort of all the challenges that they face coming from a very conservative religious community.
Wow, sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I found it fascinating. I mean, as soon as I found out about her story, I immediately wanted to know more. She was sort of facing multi-tiered challenges of being a woman in India, which possesses its own challenges, and then trying to enter into a man's sport in India of cricket, and then also being a Muslim woman from a very conservative community and family. So she's facing obstacles kind of on all sides to pursue her dream. As soon as I met Kaikasha and heard her story, I was, my eyes kind of got wide, and I was like, what? You're going through all of this? I mean, she's...
How did you
She's
meet
a young
her?
Muslim girl. We were working on another project out in Mumbai. It was during the World Cup of cricket that India was hosting.
Right.
And we met her at basically it's like Mumbai's like most popular cricket practicing field. Their the Shivaji Park cricket grounds, and she early on said that she thought that she was the only Muslim there. Only Muslim girl there. And this is a park where thousands of people are coming every day. And we all knew, wait a minute, there's very, very few Muslim women who are allowed to play sports around here.
Yeah.
So you hear that and you immediately, like, you immediately get surprised and you want to know more. And she started to let us into her family. And it became a very compelling story that I got invested in from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, you feature, as you say, the whole family. You have the perspective of her father and mother, and you have sort of intimate footage of their daily lives. Was it difficult to get them all to take part? Did you have to really win them over?
To some extent. The first few days of interviews at their home were a little different. I think they were all a little hesitant and nervous. Particularly the father. I think he was kind of curious what this was all about. But I think that over time, we established a lot of trust with one another, and they started to feel a lot more comfortable with the we're just trying to tell their story.
Yeah.
Authentically.
I mean, it's a very compelling story. I can understand why you would be attracted to making a film about it. What do you think their investment was to want to take part?
That's a good question. I mean, I know that Kaikasha, I think she was excited for the attention.
She's the one who wants to have a music career. Is that right?
No, she's the cricketer.
Oh, she's the cricketer. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So she's the one we met initially. And I think she appreciated that we were interested in a girl like her. I think it was kind of a big deal for her and kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think the parents then, were just curious what we're up to. And I think documentary filmmaking isn't the most common thing there. So I think that, it took a little bit for the parents to sort of understand. It's like, hey, this is a film we want to make, and we want to take it to festivals and play it internationally.
Yeah.
Because they had no idea who we were when we walked into their house. So it does take a little bit to kind of establish that trust.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you're saying in their environment, it's not very common documentary filmmaking, but I think even here where it is, it's still kind of a strange thought to think that you're going to be filmed and then that is going to just be out there in the world, a kind of window in on your life and even maybe your soul, one could say.
Oh, certainly, certainly. Yeah, it took a long time to get them to fully warm up, and by the end, I mean, it's like we got into some very sensitive matters that they were dealing with, and I think that had we not really established that trust, it's like we never would have gotten to that point where they could share something like that, because it is a little invasive to let a crew of at least initially strangers, a film crew, into your home multiple times. So, I mean, we are very grateful that they felt comfortable telling us their story.
Yeah. With a documentary film, you're creating this story through what you choose to shoot and what you choose to keep in the editing process. It's different from following a script in a fiction feature. I'm wondering how you go about telling the story in a way that keeps people engaged. And can you share some of your process from beginning to end, maybe especially with regard to Perda, you know, whether you storyboard, you know, how much sort of happens during, after?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll talk through Perda. I mean, what's interesting about this film is that it was one of those documentaries that starts off being about something, and then it kind of changes as real life happens. Mm. So, I mean, if we approached this as this was going to be a story about this girl pursuing her dream of cricket, but then it became really clear that it was going to be about the sisters and how they kind of all had to deal with a similar set of obstacles in this conservative religious community. Mm. And then you kind of see the things that happen to them that we never could have expected. So all of a sudden our film then has to adapt.
Right.
And then even it then sort of informs us even when we're editing, like, oh, that now things that we filmed earlier are now, they might mean something different, or it's like, this is so much more significant now. Mm. So that was, I think, one of the most like notable aspects of the filmmaking, is that we didn't, you know, we couldn't have known where this story would have gone.
No.
So we had to sort of think on our feet in terms of the filmmaking side of it, and then in terms of crafting it.
Yeah. I was curious, you know, watching it with a documentary, or at least the way, you know, this one is done, you've often got somebody speaking who is not on screen, so you're hearing their voice, and then you've got different visual images, and there's kind of various, you know, sort of scene setting ones where, you know, one that struck me was where there's a pin being hammered into the ground. I think it's for the net that they're, you know, hitting the cricket balls against or whatever. Mm-hmm. When do you decide things like that, you know what I mean, that like, oh, that would be cool to have, you know, the hammer hitting, and in the background you could see them sort of playing cricket or whatever while she's talking. I mean, is that afterwards, or presumably you have to get the footage while you're filming, so it some of it's obviously in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is part of trying to figure out how to be the best documentary filmmaker that you can be.
Right.
That you're trying to tell the story in real time. So you're constantly having to look for images that can inform or comment on the story as you're telling it. And so, you know, I mean, that requires, you have to figure stuff out on the spot.
Yeah.
And you have to know your equipment and what you're capable of seeing or hearing at any given time. Like, okay, you know, I know that if I can get this shot, I can still capture the audio, even though the camera and the audio mixer are really far away.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, you know, we can do like little tie-in shots and stuff between, you know, something important in their story or about cricket, or go from one person to the next. And then that can, you know, that can really set the tone at the very least. For the subject matter that is in the story.
Yeah. I was thinking about the themes in the film, and if we look at social constructionism, that tells us that society and individuals within it are socially constructed. You know, that is, their significance and identity are negotiated through social discourses, and they're not facts that exist in an existential way. And I'm wondering whether you see art as one way of people, maybe particularly without political power, entering into this discourse and maybe challenging the prevailing facts, in inverted commas.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I mean, I think, one thing that's been interesting, even like we haven't had our world premiere yet, but we've some media have seen our film. And one comment that I've heard a few times is that some people have said that this is a world that I would not have otherwise seen had I not seen the film. So I think that, we chose someone who would probably be considered very ordinary in India, and we told a story about them, and that seems probably very extraordinary to people like us who never heard anything like this before. And I think that can potentially have a really big impact.
Yeah. What attracts you to the documentary format of filmmaking to tell stories rather than fiction? Because, you know, obviously when you met her, you could have sort of thought, oh, this would make a really good story, and have done it as a fiction feature. What attracts you to the documentary format?
You know, I think that the authenticity of documentaries is just something that that I've been drawn to for a really long time. I think that, especially today, I think everybody's like really suspicious of media and different sources and like overly crafted or manipulated stories. So to me, it's really refreshing to see something authentic on screen. So I think that's a big part of it. And it's just something that I connect with. I like learning something new when I'm watching TV or film. So I do gravitate towards a lot of documentary programming.
I'm wondering if there was anything you took away from the experience of making Purda that was different to what you expected.
Oh man, so many things.
All of it.
There was a lot. I mean, it was, and this was such like a long filmmaking process.
Yes, of course.
I mean,
how long was it to make the film?
Oof. We started shooting in 2011.
Oh my goodness!
So,
wow.
I guess
okay.
It's been like 7 years or so.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, I guess just one main thing is that I had never been to India prior to when I went there during our initial filming.
Right.
And so I did not know a ton about Indian culture or cricket or so many things I had to learn. And I think one of the things that I appreciated most was that I had so much in common with like these girls that we were following. I thought that it was going to be such a different lifestyle, but I found that I was able to connect with them really easily. It's just like, even like small things, like we're all on Facebook. We spend way too much time on our phones. The girls had a scene where they just go shopping for jeans, and it just felt so kind of like refreshingly familiar, that it was like those little things like were just a really nice revelation for me to just see that, yeah, that we're actually like, we have so much in common, and we're a lot more alike than I ever could have expected.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have a particular audience in mind for the film, or who do you hope the film reaches?
You know, I think that this film can be for anyone who likes to see good documentaries. I mean, I think it will have extra appeal for people who are interested in India or cricket. But I think that, I mean, I tried to tell it in a way, like I came into this film as kind of an outsider to a lot of what I was filming in terms of like the culture or the sport or the religion. And I tried to turn it into like a very personal story that I thought could then be very relatable to just about anybody who would be watching the film. So I think that a lot of different people can appreciate the film. And I think ultimately it's a film about women's empowerment. It's about sport. It's about religion. It deals with a lot of sort of controversial topics at the moment with burqas and religion. So I think a lot of different people can enjoy Purda.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very interested in how the arts can be used potentially to help people consider and process difficult issues. And I think it's possible perhaps to do this both through making art and also experiencing it. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, about the potential of art of all kinds to help people perhaps, you know, process and understand life better.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I think with the few critics who've seen the film and said that it kind of opened their eyes to a world that they've never seen before, I think that in a subtle way, that's what this film or other films like it can do, is show other people around the world what's going on in places of the world that they might not go to or even have thought about much. So I think for us to be able to tell a story about like all of these really difficult struggles that these women are having to go through, I think that can be really good and informative for a lot of people who would otherwise not be hearing this type of story.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to let listeners know again, I think there's three more screenings coming up before the festival ends on March 11th. So they can see Purda, they can experience it for themselves. Will you be at any of those screenings coming up?
Yeah, I'll be at all four of the screenings.
Okay, so it'll be a chance to meet you and also ask questions afterwards. So listeners, if you want to find out when those are, you can go to the Cinequest website. That's cinequest.org. And there's a festival and film guide. And if you just put in the search thing, Purda, which is P-U-R-D-A-H, it will show you all the screenings that are upcoming, and also you can get information about Cinequest as well. And if people want more information about you, Jeremy, I think the easiest thing probably that I'll do for listeners on the podcast page that I'll put up after the broadcast, if you go to the show's website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, go to the guest page, you can find Jeremy Guy there. There'll be information there and links to his website and information about the film and some pictures, some stills also from the film, so you can get an idea of what it's all about. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And it's a really, really interesting film, so I think it was worth 7 years of work on it. And I think perhaps people don't often realize that it does it takes a long time often to make films, doesn't it? So yeah.
Oh, certainly, especially documentaries.
Yes, yeah, I can imagine. Well, thank you again, and I wish you all the best with going forward with Purda and your career.
Thank you.
So just again, the show's website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. We've had lots of very interesting guests in the past, and also topic discussions. And there's two tabs at the top of the website, topics and guests. If you go there, there's photographs that you click on that'll take you to the different shows. You can listen to the audio whenever you like, and you can also find out more information, see photos, etc. So I would encourage you to do that, to visit that. We're going to be back next week. I hope you will join us, and I hope you have a great week in the meantime.